بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So we're continuing with the tafsir of Surah Abasa, and we left off where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the noble scribes, and he's describing the scriptures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة, that the scribes, or the records which will be given out on the day of judgment, and in that is everything that's ever been done or said by anyone, it's all recorded. Those are held by بأيدي سفرة, in the hands of ambassadors, those who represent يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, kiramin barara, and they are honorable and obedient, meaning they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're always obedient to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this ayah, He talks about human beings and how human beings can be neglectful. Human beings can tend to forget the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them, and how a person can, as a result of his neglectfulness, he may end up completely denying the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes the one who denies the resurrection, denies the day of judgment, denies the final gathering place. So He says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ, may mankind be cursed, may humankind be cursed, may people be cursed or destroyed, مَا أَكْفَرَ, how ungrateful are they? Meaning, after the blessings that we've been given, after everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with, have been blessed with, we still are individuals that sometimes tend to reject even the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or deny basic principles of Islam, like the day of judgment taking place. You know, the day of judgment is something which as Muslims we have to believe in. It's one of the pillars of Iman, and it's everything I've mentioned before, everything with regards to this dunya, okay, is all leading up to the day of judgment. That's the day of all days. And everything else that we do, this earth in and of itself, all everything, all that we see around us, our experiences, the things we say, the things we do, all of these things are leading to that one final day where it's all going to come to an end. It's all going to come to a head. Everything is going to be dealt with specifically on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. And Ibn Abbas, he says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ, literally the word قُتِلَ means to kill. So here it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cursing those individuals. مَا أَكْفَرَ, how ungrateful are they? The ones who don't even recognize the blessings of Allah and recognize their purpose on this earth, and the complete denial and rejection of the realities of this life, and how the akhirah is something which for them is something that's never going to happen, never going to take place. مَا أَكْفَرَ, how ungrateful is he? You know, somebody who denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejects things which are from the principles of one's religion, and, you know, deep down is from the fitrah that every single person, he'll stay away from sins. The one who has some kind of dignity and righteousness, he'll realize that there's consequences to his actions. He'll realize him doing or saying certain things, he's going to be held to account for them in one way or another. You know, a person when he swears, a person when he steals, a person when he kills, a person when he does something wrong, okay, he'll feel a certain amount of guilt. Most of the time, for those who have some kind of self-respect, they'll feel some kind of element of injustice that they've done, and something that they've done which is wrong. And of course, this is more apparent when it comes to children. You know, when children do something wrong, one look at them and they realize that they just done something wrong, or they've said something wrong. And maybe because they're closer to the fitrah and they're younger, and so they're more innocent, and they've seen less of, you know, the the crimes of humanity and the crimes of individuals themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. How ungrateful is man? مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what was he created? Meaning, this individual who denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denies, you know, basic things which we all accept is going to take place, is going to happen, like the Day of Judgment, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks them, and he says, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From which thing did he create them from? First of all, you could say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them. How were they created? Where did they come from? What's their origin? What's their root? Who caused them to come into existence in the first place? If they're denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they're denying, for example, that they're going to be held to account for their actions, then they have to question, why were they created? How were they created? أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Did they themselves create themselves? Or were they created from nothing? أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Were they created from nothing? Did it just come about by chance? Did it just happen to form without anything behind it? It just accidentally, they just formed? أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Or were they the ones who created themselves? Meaning both of these things don't make any sense. Somebody must have created something. You know, something has to be the cause in order for something to come into effect. Nothing just comes about by itself. It doesn't happen. So every single thing has a reason, has a sabab, a reason behind it, a purpose behind it. How it was made, why it was made. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what were they created? Meaning there was a time when they were nothing. How did they come about? And also at the same time, Allah is reminding us that there was a point in time where we knew nothing. There was a point in time where we never even knew our own existence. There was a point in time when we were just مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. As Allah says in the next ayah, that we were created from a drop of fluid. خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. He created him and then he proportioned him. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that we came about from nothing. And so the fact that we came about from nothing, we came about from a small speck of fluid, as a result of this, we're still willing to question the one who created us in the first place and question his existence itself and his power and his might. So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing the importance of how our creation shows the proof of a creator. How were we created? مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. From a sperm of fluid, he created us and he formed us, he proportioned us. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. And then he made the path easy for him. Some of the scholars, for example, Ibn Abbas, he says, what does this mean that he made the path easy for us? ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. He made the path easy for him. He said that this means that then he made himself being able to come out of his mother's womb easy. Meaning, subhanAllah, Ibn Abbas is saying, radiallahu anhu, he's saying that at that moment in time, even though, subhanAllah, the child, the baby in the womb has no idea what's happening. It's unaware, none of us remember. It's before we were even born, at the moment of birth. At this moment in time, the baby, and this is known, the baby knows when is the right time to come out of the womb. It knows it straight away. Even though the baby can't speak. Okay, the baby hears but doesn't understand anything. He can't see anything. There's nothing around. But the baby still knows when the time is to come out. And he doesn't come out earlier. And generally speaking, the baby comes out when it's supposed to come out at the moment it's conceived. At the moment the mother gives birth. So this shows, brothers and sisters, a miracle from the miracles of Allah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, and this isn't just human beings, it's also animals. You know, the baby chick, for example, comes out of its egg at the appropriate time, at its right time, when it's supposed to come out. Does it come out early or late? So all of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that these are from the signs and miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can they deny these things? You know, how ungrateful are they? They're denying the basic, idea of birth itself. You know, being born. And what's interesting is, just like we as individuals believe that, animals didn't just come about from nothing. They were born, and there was something which caused their birth, meaning the parents of those baby animals. And those animals themselves, at one point or another, they were created. So likewise, brothers and sisters, when it comes to us as human beings, even more of a reason for a person to, understand and accept the fact that there was a point in time when human beings were created. And the idea of evolution, this whole concept of evolution, is something which Muslims don't agree with. How, we evolved from apes or chimpanzees or another kind of animal. This is something which, as Muslims, we don't believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Look at how the child Ibn Abbas, as Ibn Abbas says, that the child knows when it's the time to come out of the mother's womb. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is also as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ سَبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Also the scholars say, Ibn Kathir, he says that Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ. We guided him on the path, إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. He's either grateful or he's either ungrateful. So this could be another interpretation. Meaning, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. We made the path easy for him. Meaning he was able to distinguish between right and wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a person the ability to be able to choose what's right and what's wrong. And we gave him the ability to choose his own path. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what path we're going to take. But the point is, ourselves, our choices, the choices we make, we're in control of our own actions. We decide whether we do something good or whether we do something bad. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَ. Then he causes him to die and places him in the grave. After creating man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes him to die and makes him from the inhabitants of the grave. Meaning, these are things which any individual cannot deny. And the moment of time, the time span, the life, the lifetime a person has, okay, it differs from person to person. It's not exactly the same. Yet it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has decreed, and it's of course from the sunnah of Allah, it's a reality of life, that every single person that's born is going to die. This is something which none of us can deny. And this in and of itself, there's a lesson for it in this as well. The fact that over time, hundreds of thousands of years, nobody has ever come up with a way or a method of being able to live forever. And this in and of itself shows the fact that this is from the miracles of Allah in a way. No person will live forever. At the end of the day, a person is going to have a beginning and is going to have an end. And this also shows us, if that's the case, meaning hundreds of thousands of years have gone by, nobody's ever lived forever. With all the abilities, with all the technology, with everything that a person has to his, a person has available to him, even with all these things, he's not able to live forever. So this means that there's something else which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned. There's something else happening here. There's a greater purpose. There's something going to take place after this temporary life that we have. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes them to die. And He places them, puts them in the grave. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. And then when He wishes, whenever He wants to, whenever He wills, He will resurrect them. Meaning He will resurrect them on the day of judgment. There's going to be a time when every single person will be raised up. Every single person will be raised up on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. Allah said that among His signs is that He created you from dust, and then you are human beings scattered. Meaning there's a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and from His signs is that He created you from nothing. And ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ, behold, you are human beings scattered everywhere. Human beings began to spread, and they live in different places, in different communities, in different areas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَى الْعِظَامِ كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا ثُمَّ نَكْسُهَا لَحْمًا. Allah describes the human body and how the body was created. Allah says, look at the bones, Surah Baqarah. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and then clothe them with flesh. And so again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the creation of the human beings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كُلُّ إِبْنِ آدَمْ يَبْلَى إِلَّا عَجَبَ الدَّنَبْ, that every single son of Adam will decay, except for the tailbone. And from it he was created, وَفِيهِ يُرَكَّبْ, and from it and with it he will be recreated, reconstructed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that every single son of Adam will decay. And every single son of Adam, when they do decay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recreate them, resurrect them from the tailbone. And those, for example, who die and they incinerate and nothing is left of the body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can still resurrect them, because Allah azza wa jal is able to do all things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ, that no, but that person or those people have not done what he has commanded them to do. One of the scholars, he said that Allah is saying that the matter is not as this disbelieving man says. When the person, you know, he says, as we mentioned before, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ, how ungrateful is a human being, may he be cursed. So it's as if here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ, that this person, he hasn't done what we've ordered him to do, what we've commanded him to do, meaning he's been ungrateful to his Lord. He's not worshipping Allah as he's supposed to do. So he's referring back to that specific ayah. لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ, he hasn't fulfilled what we've expected, what we've obligated upon him to do as human beings. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, Allah Azza wa Jal says, I haven't created jinn or mankind except to worship me. So our purpose here is to worship Allah. Once you deny and reject that purpose, then you're going against the whole purpose of why you were created in the first place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's talking about resurrection. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ, he says that this is his will, that he will resurrect them whenever he wants. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says this ayah, the ayah before this, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ, that whenever he wills, he will raise them. كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ, which means no, he hasn't done what he has commanded, he has been commanded to do, or he is going to command, or he has ordered for it to happen. This is referring to the raising of the dead, the raising of those dead on the day of judgment, the resurrection. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ, whenever Allah wills, He will raise them all. كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made His order yet. It hasn't come about yet. It hasn't come to fruition. Meaning the resurrection hasn't taken place yet. So there's two meanings to this ayah. The first meaning is, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't, those individuals, يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ, they haven't done what they've been ordered to do, meaning human beings. The other meaning is Allah Azza wa Jal himself hasn't put into existence or put into effect his own order, his own command of resurrecting the people, meaning the day of resurrection hasn't started. And again, this goes back to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to the knowledge of the creation. Allah is saying, whenever I wish, whenever I will, whenever I want to, I will resurrect everybody again. But that decision lays with me and with nobody else. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives examples of the creation of Allah. And how even though we see all of these signs around us, a person is still ungrateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ, He says, let a person look at his food. Look at the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. All the different types of fruit different types of colors, different tastes, different looks, different smells. You know, subhanAllah, even different types of meat have their own different types of smell. You know, let alone the taste being different, you know, or the look being different. Just the essence and the scent itself. You can be upstairs and you'll know what's being made downstairs. You haven't seen the food yet. You don't know anything about what's being made. But just because of the smell, you know what kind of meat is being cooked. And this is a miracle from the miracles of Allah. The fact that each and every single type of food is different. It has its own essence, has its own taste, has its own look. Even different types of meat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, then let man look at his food. How it's a blessing from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a proof also of the existence of Allah. How there's so many different types of fruits out there. Each and every single one of them has its own specific look. It's unique. There's nothing like it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and he talks about how the food came about. So he asks us to reflect about our food. Okay, where our food comes from, how it looks, and so on and so forth. But then he says, "Anna sababna al-ma'a sabba." He talks about the root of the food. Where did all of this food come from in the first place? How does it come about? It comes about from the earth. And it doesn't come about from the earth except when water comes from the heavens. So it's like a whole system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us and showing us. There's a whole system in place. Who put the system in place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anna sababna al-ma'a sabba. Look at how we sent down the rain in abundance. We brought forth water. Water comes down from the heavens. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ. Then we split the earth into clefts, into different sections. And the cracks in the earth, that's where the water ends up going. Into the earth. And then as the water goes in, فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as a result of the water going into the earth and affecting the seeds, فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّ. That we, as a result of this, we cause therein hab to grow. And the scholars, they talked about hab. In the next ayah, Allah says, وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّ. We caused hab to grow. We caused عِنَب to grow. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. And قَضْب to grow. And the scholars, they said, Al-hab refers to all types of seeds which are placed in the earth. Meaning any type of seed which is in the earth is dependent upon the water from the heavens. No seed can grow without water from the heavens. And this is a miracle from the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes more specific. And he mentions عِنَب. عِنَب is grapes. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. And قَضْب, the scholars, they said, are herbal plants, plants which are used by animals to eat. So it's shrubs and other types of plants which animals use to graze on and to eat, and that's their nourishment. So Ibn Abbas and others, they called al-qadb the plants and the shrubs which the animals themselves use, and they nourish themselves with them. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. And then Allah says, from the earth, from the things which come out of the earth, are olives. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. And also nakhl, trees, different types of trees, specifically date palm trees. And of course, olives themselves have their own virtue in the Quran. It's mentioned in Surah Teen. There's a whole surah which is called Surah Teen. Watini was zaytun in Juz'i Amma. So this shows us the blessing, and of course, there's many blessings linked and associated with olives themselves. Okay, Ibn Kathir, he mentions how olives in his tafsir, he says olives are a well-known food. And it's a food just as it is, just as its juice is also a food. Meaning the oil is also used. Not just to eat, but to apply on the body. So it's something which has healing factors, something which, you know, has healing properties. And it's beneficial for the skin and not just for nourishment. And it's, Ibn Kathir says it's eaten for breakfast and it's also used as an oil. And in some parts of the world, olives are actually used for breakfast. I think, you know, even some parts of the here in Europe and maybe even in the UK is probably used as olives. But it definitely in the Middle East, olives are used as nourishment, especially in the morning for breakfast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. Zaytun, olives, وَنَخْلًا, date palm trees. Nakhl specifically refers to date palm trees. And Ibn Kathir, he mentions that the dates which come off the date palms, the date palm trees, are of different types, depending on when you take them. And if you notice, if you go to the shops, especially Ramadan's coming, so you may notice in Ramadan, or if you've ever been abroad to the Middle East or Saudi Arabia, you'll notice how there's different types of dates. They look different in terms of their texture, in terms of their color, in terms of their shape, and in terms of their taste. So in texture, sometimes you'll find dates which are very soft, very soft. And in fact, somebody once told me that ajwa, real proper ajwa, is in fact very, very soft. And when you actually eat it, it melts in your mouth. The real quality, high quality ajwa dates. You know, the ones we normally get is not the high quality ones. But the real high quality ones, he went to somebody's house in Medina, I think, and there was somebody there who had a farm where he had actual ajwa date palm trees. So ajwa, the texture is very, very soft. And when you put them in your mouth, it's like chocolate melting in your mouth. And you have other types of dates which are hard. You know, you have other types of dates which maybe they, even in terms of the color, that they'll look different. You have those types of dates, maybe you've seen them where they're half and a half. One half they're light and one half they're dark, light brown and dark brown. You know, you'll have other types of dates which, you know, maybe they're longer than others. And even in terms of taste, some of them are sweeter, some of them are softer, some of them are more crunchier. You have different types of dates. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentioned the different types of dates in his tafsir, you know, and how one single, you know, food from the foods of Allah can provide different types, not just one type. And this is just dates, you know. And then if you look at, for example, apples, all the different types of apples, it's not just one type of apple. Oranges, you know, all these pears and plums and all these different types of fruits, you have different forms. You know, you go to a shop, for example, where they sell seeds, and they'll have, you know, two or three different varieties of seeds for peas, for example. Different types. So this shows us, subhanAllah, how amazing the creation of Allah is. It's enough of a miracle that we have these different types of fruits. It's enough of a miracle. It's even more of a miracle how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within those different types of foods, He's made different types. So detail upon detail upon detail. And all of these things show the proof of a creator. Only a creator can go into so much detail, you know, and create all different types of foods and vegetation, and, you know, continue to, you know, people are still discovering, for example, animals in the depths of the ocean. The deeper down you go, a lot of the parts of the ocean, most of the ocean, in fact, it's undiscovered. People don't know what's in there from animals. And then for a person to have the arrogance to suggest that there's no God, when he doesn't even know what's on this earth, this very earth that he's actually living on, for him to not know anything about this earth, for this individual not to know anything about this earth, and then to question the existence of Allah and say there is no God, this is arrogance. This is, subhanAllah, the greatest peak of arrogance. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. May he be cursed, how ungrateful is he? Out of all these blessings we've given him, he still denies basic things which, you know, even a child would understand, even a child would know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the date palm tree. Ibn Kathir, he says, so many different varieties of dates, from ripe to unripe, dry, rutab, and not dry, you know, wet types of dates, dry types of dates. And also, the juice is also extracted from those dates, and pulpy fruit drinks are also made from dates. And vinegar is also made from dates. And alcohol can also be made from dates as well. So subhanAllah, all of these different types of things being made from just one type of fruit truly shows the miracle of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا. And gardens, hadaiq, Ghulba, the scholars, they said, Ghulba are gardens of date palm trees which are thick and lush and beautiful. So beautiful, lush gardens, full of vegetation, full of fruits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look at all of these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas, he said, Ghulba, hadaiqa ghulba, refers to everything that's gathered and collected. A garden can have many things gathering inside of it. You know, sometimes, subhanAllah, you may notice flowers or plants or things coming out of the ground without anybody having planted anything. Things just come out of the ground. You know, plants and shrubbery, you know, and this is from the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. You know, how without even any effort from any individual, flowers and other things come out of the ground, and this is also a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا, and fruits and herbs as well. So Allah again emphasizes how there's different types of fruit, and within each type of fruit there are different types as well, different types of different types of fruit. And abba, again the scholar said, this is referring to things which the animals use to graze on and to eat. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا. Umar ibn al-Khattab, there's a story which is mentioned by Ibn Kathir. He says that Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah, he mentions from Anas radiallahu anhu, the famous companion. He said that when once Umar radiallahu anhu was reciting Abasa wa Tawalla, and he reached wafakihatan wa abba, he reached this ayah, wafakihatan wa abba, and fruit and herbs. And then he asked Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, we already know what al-fakiha is, meaning we already know fakiha means fruit. And he said, but what is ab? Wa abba, wa fakihatan wa abba. And so Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, by your life, O Ibn al-Khattab, this is something which is burdensome, unnecessary to talk about. So subhanAllah, it's like as if Anas is reprimanding Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu is the leader of the Muslims. So he's saying this is an unnecessary type of question, and there's no benefit in asking these types of questions. Ibn Kathir, he says, and he says this is authentic narration, he says that the meaning of the narration is that Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to know how it looks and its type and its exact description. So he wanted it to be more specific. And everything which Umar radiallahu anhu, of course, and everybody else who reads this ayah, whenever we ponder and reflect about these ayat, we want to know specifically which of these plants it's referring to that grow from this earth. So a lesson that we can learn here is sometimes that it's not necessary to go into so much detail with regards to certain words which are used in the Quran. Meaning, for example, we all know there are some ayat and some words in the Quran which have a clear meaning. There are other ayat which we don't, and other words in the Quran which we don't have a clear meaning of. And here, with regards to these types of words where Allah is describing His creation, it suffices for a person to realize and know and understand that Allah is the creator. That's the most important thing for a person to know. The fact that all of these things, no matter what they are, whether it's this type of fruit or that type of fruit or this vegetation or that vegetation, all of it ultimately at the end of the day comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. He says, all of these things are a provision, they're a benefit for you and a benefit for your cattle. Meaning all of these things, subhanAllah, it's of no benefit to Allah. Allah has no need for it. Why has Allah created all of these types of things? Because it's a benefit for you. We're the ones who benefit. You know, one day we'll wake up, we'll have an apple. Next day, we decide we'll have an orange. The next day, we'll have some strawberries. The next day, we'll have a plum. A banana the following day. So we're choosing different types of fruits and vegetables and food we want to eat. And this is a mercy and a blessing from Allah. It's for us, it's for our own benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all these different types of fruits, all these different types of vegetables. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, this is for you. It's mata' for you. It's provision for you. It's benefit for you. It's so that you can relax, so that you can enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the different blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُونَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. At the end of Surah At-Takathur, He says, then ultimately at the end, you're going to be asked about the blessings you've been given. Every single thing we were blessed with, we're going to be asked about. Every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, we're going to be held to account for, we're going to be responsible for. Allah is going to ask us what we did with those blessings that we were given. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the Day of Judgment. And He says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَةِ. When as-sakha comes, and sakha is another name for the Day of Judgment. So He says, when that day comes, not if that day comes, when that day comes, meaning for sure it's going to come. There's going to be a time when as-sakha is going to come. And Ibn Abbas, he talks about as-sakha, and he says, as-sakha is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. And we've mentioned before how sometimes certain things are given more names because of their importance. For example, a lion will be given many names in the Arabic language because it's considered to be important. Allah has many names, over 99 names, because of the importance of our Creator. Other things are also given many names. The Day of Judgment is also given different names because of its importance, because of the azama, the greatness of that day. So as-sakha is also one of the names of the Day of Judgment, just like al-ghashiyah is also a name of the Day of Judgment. As-sa'ah is another name, the hour. So as-sakha, al-Baghawi, the famous scholar, he said as-sakha means the thunderous shout of the Day of Judgment. Others, they said, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he said, perhaps it means the blowing into the trumpet. Meaning that's the thing that's going to initiate and start the Day of Judgment itself. And literally the word sakha refers to something which is so loud that it pierces and deafens the ears. It's a deafening sound. It's something so loud. And one can only imagine that the sound is going to be loud and intense because it's going to bring about the beginning of the Day of Judgment. It's going to start the Day of Judgment. So it's subhanAllah going to be like anything else. It's going to be unlike anything else we've ever had before. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ السَّاخَةِ. When a sakha comes, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. On this day, when man shall flee from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. And he'll flee from his mother and from his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. And he'll flee from his spouse, he'll flee from his wife, and he'll flee from his child. Now, all of these different types of people, the different categories of people, are people that we hold close to our hearts. And they're people that maybe we would give our own lives for before anything happens to them. You know, our closest friends, our most loyal friends, blood brothers or just brothers in Islam, or brothers in arms. You know, people that we're loyal to all the way to the end. We would do anything for them. If somebody was attacking them, we would defend them. If somebody was saying something to them, we would defend them and say something back to those who attack those that we're loyal to, those that we like, our friends. You know, يَوْمَ يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. And people will flee from their own mothers and fathers. You know, children, when something happens to them, when they're upset about something, they'll go to their parents. When we're older, we realize the wisdom of our parents and we'll go to them for advice. And so we're dependent on our parents, whether it's when we're younger for protection, for, you know, sustenance, for food, or even when we're older, it's the same thing. But we're dependent on them in different ways. We're dependent on them with regards to their experience and their knowledge. So we're dependent on them. But on that day, we won't be able to be dependent on them. On that day, nothing will be able to help us. Even our own parents, they won't be able to help us, even though they helped us throughout our whole lives. Financially, physically, educationally, they taught us. They gave us advice when we were older and so on and so forth. On the Day of Judgment, they won't be able to do anything. They won't be able to help us. In fact, we'll run away from them. We won't even run to them. You know, sometimes something happens to our loved one, we'll rush to them. Someone gets hurt, we'll run to them, make sure they're okay. On the day of judgment, when everyone is scared, we're not even going to run to our family members. You know, when something happens here, a natural disaster or an accident or something, we rush to see if everything's okay. On that day, it's the greatest calamity. But people aren't going to be together. People are in fact going to run away. They're going to flee from everybody else, even those that they love the most. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي And his wife and his child. He'll run away from his own child. You know, we do anything to make sure nothing happens to our own children. But on that day, we're going to run away from them. We won't want anything to do with them. And every single person will be worried about himself. The famous hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he talked about intercession on that day. People will run towards the greatest of man, the greatest of creation. The messengers, the prophets of Allah. Because they'll think if anybody can help us, it's the prophets. And they'll go to each prophet. Each prophet will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. They won't be concerned about anybody else. They'll think to themselves, I have myself to worry about. I can't help anybody else. Even Isa ibn Maryam will say that I will not ask him concerning anyone but myself today. I will not even ask Maryam alayhi salam, the woman who gave birth to me, to intercede on my behalf. Wa ummihi wa abi. He's going to flee from his mother, he's going to flee from his father. Also, Qatada rahimahullah, the famous scholar, he said the most beloved and then the next most beloved and the closest of kin and then the next closest of kin. Your brothers, your blood brothers, your mother and your father, your spouse and your children. You're going to flee from all of them. No matter how close they are from you or how far away they are from you. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِيهِ Allah says, every man on that day will have enough to make him careless of others. To make him just focus on himself. He won't want to worry about anybody else. He won't care about anybody else. He'll be thinking about himself only. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he talked about the Day of Judgment. He said, on that day, يُحْشَرُونَ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا مُشَاتًا غُرْلًا He said, you all be gathered on the Day of Judgment, barefoot, naked, walking, and uncircumcised. As if you just came out of your mother's womb. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, will we not look at one another? Because everyone will be naked. And so the Messenger of Allah وسلم, he said to her, Ya Aisha, every single man, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ He recited the same ayah. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي On that day, everyone will be worried about their own selves. When you're so concerned, you know, even in this world, sometimes we're so busy with work, what ends up happening? We're so busy with work. Maybe we've worked over 10 hours, 12 hours. Maybe we've got a busy week at work. What ends up happening? Because we're so busy with work, we tend to neglect some basic things that we normally would do. Like what, for example? Eating, showering, putting new clothes on, combing our hair, isn't it? Because maybe we're stressed. Yeah? So because of this stress, okay, we tend to neglect some of those things that we normally would do on a normal day. But because of the stress, basically we're not thinking about it. Now imagine the stress on the Day of Judgment. And so even though people are naked, the stress, the amount of stress that's involved, a person will completely forget about anybody else. He won't even be worried about himself and how he looks. So subhanAllah, you know, it's the ultimate moment where a person knows his place. The arrogance of an individual on this earth thinking that he's somebody who is free from any type of God or creator. On that day, you're going to be in the most humiliating position. You'll have no clothes. There will be no protection from nobody. You're on your own. Literally, you're on your own. There's nobody who can help you. Nobody at all. And if you had enough good deeds in this world, Allah will help you. Allah will protect you. Allah will clothe you. But if there isn't enough good deeds in this world that you've done for the sake of Allah, then nothing's going to help you on that day. You're going to remain disgraced. You're going to remain humiliated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll raise us in that form, and only from His protection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us and take care of us and grant us the high stations of paradise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وجوه يوم إذ مصفرة. Some faces on that day will be musfira. They'll be bright, laughing, happy, rejoicing. You know, as if they've received good news, and they have received good news of paradise. وجوه يوم إذ مصفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة. They'll be laughing, rejoicing at good news, مستبشرة. One of the scholars, Ibn Kathir, he talks about this and he says, they'll be happy and pleased due to the joy they will have in their hearts. The good news of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them from the news of paradise. And then the other side, وَوُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرًا. And then the faces of those the people on that day whose faces are covered with dust, meaning they've been humiliated. تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرًا. They have darkness over their faces. Darkness will encompass them. Darkness will cover them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَ. They will be, or such are these individuals, they are the disbelievers, they are the wicked evildoers. And they're wicked evildoers because they did the most evil deed in the dunya. What's the most evil deed that you can do? To commit shirk. To completely reject the existence of Allah. After Allah Azza wa Jal has given us everything that He's mentioned here in this surah, we still reject Him. He's given us life. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. He's made the path easy for us. You know, He's given us وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. All of these blessings and fruits and vegetation and مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. Something which is a means of ease for you and for your cattle. Not just for you, but also for your animals. Allah's even provided for the animals themselves. Animals themselves are a proof of a creator. It's something which shows us the beauty of and the power of Allah Himself. And at the same time, Allah has given His creation, which is used as a sign for us that there is a creator. He's given that creation sustenance as well, out of His mercy. So all of these things, subhanAllah, show us how those individuals who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says, وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا, that those people, they only gave birth to those who are wicked disbelievers. Meaning, people grew up, people were born, and they were raised, and when they grew up and they had a choice between right and wrong, they went down the wrong path. And even though the signs are in front of us and we're all on the same earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomsoever He wants, and every single person has his own path and he chooses what he wants to do at the same time. And so a person decides to go down that path even though the signs are there, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for steadfastness on his path, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the highest stations of paradise. So this is the end of the tafsir of Surah Abasa. If there's any questions, then I'll do my best to answer. There may be one question or two questions because we have the adhan. Nowhere. There's nowhere to run. So a person will be panicking. A person will try to run somewhere. Like, for example, you know, it's not a proper example because you can't compare the Akhirah with anything in this world. But for example, let's say a huge calamity occurs here, and a person, let's say an earthquake, a person sometimes out of confusion doesn't know what to do. Sometimes we see images or pictures or videos. A person's running. Out of the confusion, out of the noise and the sounds and whatever's happening onto the earth, he's running out of desperation. He's not running anywhere specific. It's confusion. So likewise, same thing, or even greater in fact, not the same, but even greater and even worse, is he'll be scattering, running, just out of confusion, not knowing where to go. Other ayat mention that people will be running over each other, you know, bumping into one another. They won't be concerned about what's happening to anybody else. Okay, we'll conclude here inshallah and we'll continue next week. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.